listening to The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk with innovators and policymakers on how to better feed the world. I'm your host, Max Johnston. Today's story comes from contributor Lizzie LaFave.
Today, I am talking to Dr. Ruben Martinez. He is a professor of sociology and director of the Julian Zamora Research Institute at Michigan State University. His research deals with Latino communities, farm workers in Michigan, environmental justice, and more. We talked about the life of migrant farm workers in Michigan, their impact on our food system, and Trump's impact on them. Dr. Martinez, I know a lot of people are confused as to how an undocumented migrant worker can legally work on a farm in Michigan. Can you give us some context there?
Well, the majority of farm workers now, migrant farm workers, are Latinos, and the majority of them are foreign-born. There's confusion about how many are undocumented. I mean, it's hard to tell who's undocumented because we don't know who's undocumented, right? But I would venture to say that at least 50% of those working in the field are undocumented.
And has that been an issue?
Conservative forces in the country have now begun to criminalize the status of those folks.
And has it worked?
Folks then do create false Social Security numbers so that they can be employed. And the demand is there by agriculture, so that's how these folks are able to get employment. And they have to do it to survive.
It seems like I hear quite regularly that there are not enough jobs in the state, but you say that there are jobs out in the field that are just not getting filled by American citizens.
Americans simply are not here to do it. They will not take those jobs. This is hard work. There are difficult working conditions. The pay is not great. Most of these, a good number of these families live in poverty. And so the consequence is that there's demand, employer demand for these folks.
What happens if that job is not filled?
Certain sectors of agriculture require manual laborers to harvest crops, to tend to the crops, to address all of those agricultural needs and functions. If the crops are not harvested, these farms will lose all of their investment.
So it would seem to me that by now there has some federal or state level regulation that is there to protect workers, especially if they're working in such a hazardous workplace. So how are migrant farm workers so vulnerable?
There's little enforcement of workplace safety. One of the problems was that the Fair Labor Relations Act excluded farm workers from having the rights to engage in collective bargaining. So they were left out of those protections, and that didn't come until later, even though they still do not have collective bargaining rights.
So what direction is this headed now?
Right. We're moving from a social democracy which sought to provide support to those who were in need to one that says it's your problem, not mine. And so there's no end to it. In fact, the current president, I think, is sort of the extreme version of that point of view, that everybody should take care of themselves. He's very busy now dismantling programs, dismantling regulations.
Can you give me an example of how this has created a more hazardous workplace for migrant workers?
Rather than creating and supporting and expanding the functions of organizations that or institutions, agencies that will support the work of farm workers, like the EPA, right? Like restricting the use of certain pesticides in the workplace.
And this directly affects the migrant farm workers?
Well, there's now efforts to get rid of the EPA totally, and now through executive power, the current president has allowed certain pesticides to be used that had previously not been allowed to be used. So we have working conditions where people are subjected to exposure to dangerous pesticides. That's a dangerous workplace.
The Michigan Civil Rights Report of 2010 describes the living and working conditions of farm workers in Michigan as unconscionable and deplorable and called for change. What other aspects of this job are making it so hazardous?
Right, so if they don't have access to water, they don't have access to shade, they don't have access to, some amenities, they're going to suffer.
That was 2010. So you would think a call for change would have been answered by now, right?
Now the philosophy of economic freedom says, hey, I can do whatever I want, and I'm not required, and these agencies should not force me to do these kinds of supports and provisions for these workers.
How do migrant farm workers network to find these jobs in Michigan?
Let's say that a contractor gets 50 workers to go to work on a farm in Michigan. And then it turns out that there wasn't really enough work for them for the specified time. So this contractor now has these workers here, and then decides to move them, you know, makes arrangements to move them to another farm. Well, actually, you can't do that.
Well, why not?
You either have to pay them for the amount of time that you said that you were going to have them, because otherwise you can't say, okay, we only worked 3 weeks, so we're going to send you home. You have to pay them the 6 weeks. But, you know, where's the enforcement?
Is there anything about Michigan that is significant that we have not already discussed?
Michigan has certain kinds of housing standards and so forth that may differ from, say, Indiana. Well, I've known of instances where they were bringing H-2A workers to work in the cornfields here in Michigan, but the contractor was keeping them in motels on the Indiana side, which brought up the question, wait a minute, who's going to enforce the standard of adequate housing here? Because they're actually working in Michigan, but now they're making them live over in Indiana. And that's done with the purpose in mind, right?
Can you explain what that purpose might be?
So you have then people, more people in rooms, in these motel rooms, living than the Michigan standards allow.
Why would they do that?
Well, I think it's because to save money on the costs. And secondly, it may be that the Indiana housing standards may be lower than the ones here.
How much are these farm workers paid?
So if you have less than 500 man hours in every quarter or whatever, or any quarter in the year, you don't have to pay the minimum wage, which means that these workers are coming to work for less than minimum wage. And minimum wage is actually keeping you in the working poor segment anyway.
We have been sort of talking about this topic like it's the majority. Can you clarify, are all farmers likely mistreating their migrant farm workers?
Right. Now, that doesn't mean that the majority of employers in agriculture do this, but it does mean that there are those who continue to do it. It also means that as we continue to dismantle our agencies, government agencies that oversee protections, it means that more and more will be doing it.
So how does this all tie in to the overall well-being of Michigan's food system?
So, you know, we have a situation where the food that is put on Americans' tables is done at the exploitation of the people who harvest and the crops and to tend to those crops. The result being that all of these activities that are taking place now under this free market fundamentalist order is literally putting our food systems at risk.
What might that look like?
We may not have the food safety standards enforced. We may not have the adequate protections for our workers. We may not have the adequate harvesting of food. So really, when we talk about farm workers now, we really need to talk about our food systems, because that's what's going to get the attention of people.
You think that people care about our food system?
They don't care about the farm workers. But if their milk prices start increasing, if their tomato prices start increasing because of food shortages, or there are actual food shortages, that'll get their attention. But it may be too late, because we may already be imploding our food systems here in this country.
What do you think of Dr. Martinez's research? Email us with any questions or comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com, or leave them in the comments below this post. The Food Fix is a project of the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation and the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism at Michigan State University. I've been your host, Max Johnston. Thanks for listening.